I heard the college car rolling slowly toward me, heard its tires crushing grit on the blacktop. Everything else was silence. Then time restarted, and a voice in my head screamed, "Go, go, go," and I ran for it. I scrambled into the van and threw the gun down on the middle seat and fired up the engine and pulled a U-turn so hard we came up on two wheels. The skinny kid was thrown all over the place. I got the wheels straight and stamped on the gas and took off south. I had a limited view in the mirror, but I saw the college cops light up their roof bar and come right after me. The kid next to me was totally silent. His mouth was hanging open. He was concentrating on staying in his seat. I was concentrating on accelerating as hard as I could. Traffic was mercifully light. It was a sleepy New England town early in the morning. I got the van wound up to about 70 miles an hour and tightened my hands on the wheel until my knuckles showed white and just stared at the road ahead like I didn't want to see what was behind me. "How far back are they?" I asked the kid. He didn't respond. He was slack with shock and crunched up in the corner of his seat, as far away from me as he could get. He was staring at the roof. He had his right hand braced against the door. Pale skin, long fingers. "How far back?" I asked again. The engine was roaring loud.
"You killed a cop," he said. "That old guy was a cop, you know."
"I know."
"You shot him."
"Accident. How far back are the others?"
"He was showing you his badge."
"How far back are the others?" He stirred himself and turned around and ducked his head so he could line up the view out of the small rear windows.
100 feet,
he said. He sounded vague and scared.
"Real close. One of them's hanging out the window with a gun."
Right on cue, I heard the distant pop of a handgun over the roar of the engine and the whine of the tires. I picked up the Colt from the seat beside me, dropped it again. It was empty. I had fired 6 times already. A radiator, 2 tires, 2 guys, and 1 cop. "Glove compartment," I said.
"You should stop," the kid said. "Explain to them. You were helping me. It was a mistake."
He wasn't looking at me. He was staring out the back windows. "I shot a cop," I said. I kept my voice completely neutral. "That's all they know. That's all they want to know. They aren't going to care about how or why." The kid said nothing. "Glove compartment," I said again. He turned again and fumbled the lid open. There was another Anaconda in there, identical. Shiny, stainless steel, fully loaded. I took it from the kid, wound my window all the way down. Cold air rushed in like a gale. It carried the sound of a handgun firing right behind us, fast and steady. "Shit," I said. The kid said nothing. The shots kept coming, loud and dull and percussive. How were they missing? "Get down on the floor," I said. I slid sideways until my left shoulder was jammed hard against the door frame and craned my right arm all the way around until the new gun was out of the window and pointing backward. I fired once, and the kid stared at me in horror and then slid forward and crouched down in the space between the front edge of his seat and the dash with his arms wrapped around his head. A second later, the rear window 10 feet behind where his head had been exploded. "Shit," I said again, steered for the side of the road to improve my angle, fired behind us again. "I need you to watch," I said. "Stay down as far as you can." The kid didn't move. "Get up! Now! I need you to watch!" He raised himself and twisted around until his head was just high enough to see out the back. I saw him register the shattered rear window, saw him realize that his head had been right in line with it. "I'm going to slow down a little. Gonna pull in so they'll pull out to pass me."
"Don't do it," the kid said. "You can still put this right."
I ignored him, dropped the speed to maybe 50, and pulled right, and the college car instinctively drifted left to come up on my flank. I fired my last 3 chambers at it, and its windshield shattered, and it slewed all the way across the road like maybe the driver was hit or a tire had gone. It plowed nose first into the opposite shoulder and smashed through a line of planted shrubs, and then it was lost to sight. I dropped the empty gun on the seat beside me and wound the window up and accelerated hard. The kid said nothing, just stared into the rear of the van. The broken window back there was making a weird moaning sound as the air sucked out through it. "Okay," I said. I was out of breath. "Now we're good to go." The kid turned to face me.
"Are you crazy?"
"You know what happens to people who shoot cops?" He had no reply to that. We drove on in silence for maybe 30 whole seconds, more than half a mile, blinking and panting and staring straight ahead through the windshield like we were mesmerized. The inside of the van stank of gunpowder. "It was an accident," I can't bring him back, so get over it.
Who are you?
No, who are you? He went quiet. He was breathing hard. I checked the mirror. The road was completely empty behind us. Completely empty ahead of us. We were way out in open country. Maybe 10 minutes from a highway cloverleaf.
I'm a target, he said. For abduction.
It was an odd word to use.
They were trying to kidnap me.
You think? He nodded.
It's happened before.
Why?
Money. Why else?
You rich?
My father is.
Who's he?
Just a guy.
But a rich guy.
He's a rug importer.
Rugs? What, like carpets?
Oriental rugs.
You can get rich importing Oriental rugs?
Very.
You got a name?
Richard. Richard Beck.
I checked the mirror again. The road was still empty behind, still empty ahead. I slowed a little and steadied the van in the center of my lane and tried to drive on like a normal person. So who were those guys, I asked. Richard Beck shook his head.
I have no idea.
They knew where you were going to be, and when.
I was going home for my mother's birthday. It's tomorrow.
Who would know that?
I'm not sure. Anybody who knows my family?
Anybody in the rug community, I guess. We're well known. There's a community? Rugs?
We all compete. Same sources, same market. We all know each other.
I said nothing, just drove on, 60 miles an hour.
You got a name?
No. He nodded, like he understood. Smart boy.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to let you out near the highway. You can hitch a ride or call a cab, and then you can forget all about me. He went very quiet. I can't take you to the cops, I said. That's just not possible. You understand that, right? I killed one. Maybe three. You saw me do it. He stayed quiet. Decision time. The highway was 6 minutes ahead. They'll throw away the key. I screwed up. It was an accident, but they aren't going to listen. They never do. So don't ask me to go anywhere near anybody. Not as a witness, not as nothing. I'm out of here like I don't exist. We absolutely clear on that? He didn't speak. And don't give them a description. Tell them you don't remember me. Tell them you were in shock. Or I'll find you, and I'll kill you. He didn't answer. I'll let you out somewhere like you never saw me. He moved, turned sideways on his seat, and looked straight at me.
Take me home. All the way. We'll give you money. Help you out. We'll hide you if you want. My folks will be grateful. I mean, I'm grateful. Believe me. You saved my ass. The cop thing, it was an accident, right? Just an accident. You got unlucky. It was a pressure situation. I can understand that. We'll keep it quiet.
I don't need your help. I just need to get rid of you.
But I need to get home. We'd be helping each other.
The highway was 4 minutes ahead.